In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us and happy Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Yes, I hope you're stuffed and not doing Black Friday because that's horrible.
Yeah. We both had so much turkey, so we're out of it right now. Let's meet the crew, though. I'm Brett Molina. I cover tech. And my favorite Sean Bean death scene is from Lord of the Rings.
I'm Kelly Lawler, a TV critic. And my favorite Sean Bean death scene is the one that Brett Molina stole, even though I called dibs.
Yes. For the record, she thought of this first. So there you go. I'm sorry, Kelly. Full credit to you, though. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. While you're on Apple Podcasts, wouldn't it be great if you could leave us a quick review about the show? That's something for us to be very thankful for.
We would be so thankful for reviews and ratings and smiles.
Absolutely. By doing that, not only do you help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us, as a special bonus, we will give you a shout out on our next episode. Seriously, we've done this before. We take your feedback seriously. We love it. We appreciate it. We're especially thankful for it. So please share it with us. We love it. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. You can also email us to mothershippod@usatoday.com. On to the main topic. We're talking video games. Hitman 2 is out. It actually came out last week, but it follows Agent 47. Some of you may have heard of this character on the big screen. He was in the film Hitman. Surprise. That came out in 2007. And it follows his latest exploits as a covert assassin. If you aren't 100% familiar, you might recognize him. He's got a black suit on, he's got a bald head, and he's got like a little scanner thing on the back of his neck. There's a new game that is out now called Hitman 2. One of the big features in it is called Elusive Target. And so the way it works is the game's online. And so for a limited time, players will have certain targets that they have to take out, and they have a certain amount of time to do it, or it's over. One of those characters is someone we are very familiar with, actor Sean Bean, who you have seen in Game of Thrones and in Lord of the Rings and lots of other fun stuff.
National Treasure.
Yes, National Treasure. That's right. He also happens to be our special guest this week because we got the chance to talk to him for a few minutes about Hitman, about why he doesn't stay alive more in movies. Apparently, there's a website devoted to him dying, which is sad.
About memes.
Yes, about memes. Lots of fun stuff. So here's that interview with Sean Bean, which we recorded earlier this month. Let's start with Hitman 2. I was reading some of the description about your role. You're playing this MI5 agent turned assassin. Talk a little more about this character. How'd you best describe him?
Well, he's a loner. He's someone who grew up as a child, a little bit of a lonely child. He was very much into what he was doing in his laboratory and mixing up chemicals and stuff like that. Very intelligent, very clever kid. He joins MI5, and you know he's quite successful. You know, he's a good agent, but then it all goes kind of wrong. He ends up assassinating, you know, the wrong target, and from then on, he becomes a rogue kind of agent, freelance. And he's wanted by the Agent 47 and ICA, who Agent 47 works for, and he's got a price on his head, and he quite enjoys himself, you know. He quite enjoys very showman. He enjoys sensational assassination. So he's very theatrical in the way he assassinates people. And he taunts the various agencies and say, "Come and get me." So he's quite a cocky guy.
So how involved were you in the process of creating the character? Did you do any motion capture or anything like that?
Well, originally we were going to do motion capture, but they ended up kind of doing that for me, but I didn't have to go in and kind of do all the moving, which was all right. I just had a day filming, and that was mainly for the trailer. But it gave you kind of some idea of what the character would be like. Yeah.
So you've worked in video games before as an actor. You know, what is it like working in that medium versus, say, film or TV?
It's okay. I mean, you don't have to do a great deal. But that's pretty quick. You know, you go in. I shot the trailer in a day. You know, it's not a great deal of time which to do it, but we got everything in there that we could. And then from then on, I guess the technical effects and CGI guys take over and give me movement. So it's very different. You know, you're working on a film for 3 months and getting up every day and being on set, whereas this was very much just an introduction to the character. And then from then on, it's up to the players to enjoy themselves, trying to kill me, I suppose.
So what drew you to this Hitman series in particular?
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with games anyway, but I was asked to have a look at this, and it was I'd never done anything like this before. I'd never actually appeared. I've done a few voiceover for video games and stuff like that, but I've never actually physically appeared in a game, and that was quite exciting. And I just wanted to see what would happen and how they capture me and how the whole process of it. You know, it was a kind of new territory for me, and quite exciting.
Have you ever played a game that you've either voiced in or this one that you're appearing in?
No, I've not. I've seen people play games that I've put my voice to, but I've never actually played them myself. But I might try and play this one. This Hitman 2.
So, obviously one of the goals for players is to try to kill your character. And through your career, you've had this reputation for playing characters who end up dying, so much so that, you know, people have had campaigns that want you to begging you to stay alive. How do you feel having that kind of as part of your career and part of your legacy?
It's okay. So they've all been very, I think, very memorable deaths and, something to be proud of. And also, and this is ironically, I'm called The Undying. That's my nickname, you know, Mark Faber, The Undying, which is a contradiction into considering how many times I've died on screen. So that's an improvement. But I don't mind. It's okay. I've died that many times. You know, there's a big campaign. Don't kill Jimmy Harley. I said, I'm not really bothered, you know, if you kill me or not, because they're usually quite nice parts and I can go on to something else after that.
So speaking of one of the roles in which you famously died, we're big Lord of the Rings fans here, and you were Boromir. Do you have any really fond memories of working on that film?
Yeah, I do with Lord of the Rings. It's wonderful times, you know, I'm very fond memories. Out in New Zealand with all the cast, we got great camaraderie established there, and it was a very unusual experience. It's not like nothing I'd ever done before, or nothing I've done since. It was so, you know, we were so far away doing our own thing. You know, I think that lent it so much magic, and you know, just a wonderful time, Lord of the Rings, you know.
I don't know if you saw the news, but Amazon Studios is reviving Lord of the Rings to make a big, splashy TV show sometime in the future. It's going to take them a while. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I guess it must be good if they're throwing a lot of money at it. And, if it follows in the footsteps of Peter Jackson's work, then why not? It should be brilliant. Imagine, and much, you probably have a lot longer to tell the story. It's a very thick book.
So although Boromir dies in the first Lord of the Rings film, his character seems to have lived on online because of this meme based on your line where you say one does not simply walk into Mordor. First off, are you familiar with that? And how do you feel? How often do people recognize you for that?
Quite a lot. You know, you see it on the internet, and it's one does not simply do this, one does not simply do that. And I quite like that, yeah. Yeah, it's at least it's a memorable line, and it's like Winter is Coming from Game of Thrones. That's another one. So I get the best lines, it seems.
Is there a one does not simply meme that you have seen that is your personal favorite? Or just for people that have posted this meme of you saying one does not simply, is there one that you've seen that you really liked?
I think there is one saying, one does not simply beat Sheffield United. That was a favorite of mine.
So yeah, that is a meme that your face is splashed all over, and then winter is coming. So speaking of Game of Thrones, we're also big fans of that on the podcast. Since you're one of the original cast members, did you get any hints about where the series would end? We're obviously not telling you to tell us. We're just interested to know.
No, I didn't. You know, I was over in Ireland, and I was talking to the cast, the remaining cast, and you know, I didn't actually ask, because I don't want to know myself. But I mean, I don't think anyone would have told. Everybody's really, you know, very quiet about it, and nobody's gonna know.
So, is it weird? Because they show Ned Stark in flashbacks in the series. Is it weird seeing that and having played that character?
Yeah, it is sometimes. It seems a long time ago, you know. I suppose it was, but you know, it's one of my favorites, because he was a really, I don't know, it was a man that wanted to do well by his family and his, you know, the people who he looked over, and you know, he was a solid, good man who was out of his depth when he went down south. He was, you know, the villainous and treacherous, and he wasn't made for that, and it's quite tragic how he fell apart and, you know, killed him. Really, he's one of the few good men in Game of Thrones.
If they were to have flashbacks that covered the age of the character that you played, hypothetically, would you ever be interested in going back on the show?
It remains to be seen. I've not really got any idea what they intend to do with it. So I think, you know, I guess I did my piece, I did my bit, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm really in the dark about it. So I'm just as much in the dark about it as you are. So that's about, yeah.
So because we're giant nerds and we think about this stuff all the time, if Boromir and Ned Stark fought each other, who wins?
I think probably Boromir. He was a bit younger at the time. Yeah.
Oh, one last question. I mean, as far as other projects you're working on beyond Hitman, what's some other stuff that you're doing?
I just did a series called Medici, about the Lorenzo Medici in Italy, in Florence. There was an original last season. This is the second series, so I'm in that, and that's coming out soon. I'm also doing a thing called Curfew, which is Sky Atlantic, which is all about this illegal car race in a kind of this totalitarian society where there's a curfew on, and that's kind of really set in the future, and that's an exciting one. And I've got a couple of other things. So.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was great talking to you, and good luck with Hitman and everything else in your career.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that was Sean Bean. He's in the new game Hitman 2. I actually got a chance to play this for a little bit. It's very interesting. It's a really cool game. I'm pretty familiar with Hitman. I've played it a few times before, so it was really interesting to see it come back.
So my biggest question about that is, did you kill Sean Bean?
No, he's not available to be killed yet. That's the thing. It comes. I know. I have not had the chance to kill him yet, so there's only time. He's escaped me this time, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You can't hide from Brett Molina for very long.
No, you cannot.
He will get you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So Brett's played the game. I haven't, because, you know, it's me. what's sort of the history of the game? So the character comes from the movie. Was that when the first game came out?
The series has been around since probably the early 2000s, like around the original, or probably PlayStation 2 era Xbox. And it's these series of stealth games, which the best way to translate them is they are games where you play a character, and so you have to complete certain objectives without being seen. Hitman's an example. There's this long-running franchise called Metal Gear, which is extremely complicated, but a lot of people are familiar with it. And the premise is you're completing certain tasks. Often it's like a military level, or in this case with Hitman, you're an assassin, but the whole idea is you have to complete all this with leaving as little a footprint as possible. And so the first Hitman game I played was in 02. I think that was called Hitman 2 as well. They did some weird renumbering thing recently. But it's just a fascinating game because, you know, what makes Hitman different is it's, you know, you obviously have people that you kill, but the whole goal is you're only supposed to do as minimal as possible. So, you know, yes, technically you could go around and kill different people, but it actually affects you negatively by doing that. You have to be able to do things with as minimal of an impact as possible. There was one version of Hitman that I played, and I remember where you had to kill a character that was involved in a play, I think. And so the way you had to kill him was he had a prop gun and you had to swap it with a real one so that he would accidentally kill himself.
Classic move.
Exactly. But that's part of what makes it interesting. It also makes it challenging, too, because, you know, you want to try to do it without being detected. So there's a lot involved there of trying to, like, distract people or put on disguises and other stuff like that. So that's kind of what makes it fun.
So is that stealth aspect what really makes it different from other games?
Yeah, because, you know, again, with a game like Hitman, where it's technically a shooter type game, there's one mission early on where you basically break into someone's house. You're trying to get information on this organization and everybody comes back. So there's a target there that you have to take out. You can obviously shoot that person or, you know, during one stage, there's like rat poison. And so you could put rat poison in the sugar. And so at some point that person will get a cup of coffee and then they end up drinking the coffee. And it's interesting because there's kind of creative ways to complete the mission. So there's multiple ways to do it. There's multiple ways to escape. There's one mission where there are two targets that you have to take out, and you can do it either the traditional way. There's one where they have pyrotechnics. They're like a race car driver, so you have pyrotechnics. And one of the ways you can do it is by wiring the pyrotechnics so they explode. There's one where you can use some kind of trophy as a way to do it. So there's like, it's creative in that there's lots of different ways to complete it. And it's honestly, you're also playing it over and over again. So you can, you know, there's challenges with it too. So there might be take this person out by doing this or take them out by doing that. So there's lots of different ways you can do things. So, and that's kind of part of the appeal too, is playing it over and over again and trying different ways of doing things and finishing the missions.
So you've been playing this game for a while. What is the thing that you love about it most?
I think it's really the fact that, you know, you only have these handful of missions that you do, but it's just the different ways you do it. It's also cool too, because there's like lots of little things like there, you know, you can put on disguises and stuff like that. And that's part of how you get around too. And some of the zanier stuff too, where it's like you kind of the really interesting covert ways of, you know, taking out a target and stuff is fun also. But yeah, it's just, you know, there's just so many different ways you can approach it. And I think that's part of why it's so good.
Any negative aspects of it?
I mean, this goes kind of bigger picture with a stealth game, is that when you make a mistake, like when you get caught or you maybe take out someone you're not supposed to, you can keep going and finishing stuff. But you know that it's not going to look as good if you actually did it without being seen. So there are like so many times with me anyway, where I just wanted to stop and start over a spot. And so sometimes if I keep messing up, you keep kind of disrupting the flow of what's happening, because you're always, maybe someone sees you and you didn't want to see you and you want to start over. Or there's one scene where I was trying to disguise myself and walk in and not realizing I had like this big gun on my back, and I thought no one would see it. And it turns out everybody did. And I'm like, oh, I probably should leave that here. So I did and walk in and it was fine. But it's like there are just times where, because it's stealth, if you make any minor mistake, you feel like you've messed up. And so you have to start over again. And that feels like it can happen a lot sometimes.
So since today, the day after Thanksgiving, is the official start to the holiday season.
Yes.
Anyone who put up Christmas decorations earlier than this should, you know, go away.
Shame on you.
Who do you recommend adds this to their list or gets this for a family member or a friend?
Oh, my goodness.
What kind of video game connoisseur wants this game?
If you're into the stealth stuff, it's definitely fun. Because, again, a big part of what makes these stealth games good is the characters that are kind of there that you can't control are smart enough to recognize when something's going on. Like, that's what makes it good, because if it's something where, say, you have a guard and they're just walking back and forth and you're just waiting for them to walk one way and then you go through, that can get a little old. But if it's stuff where it's like you might walk by someone, they're like, hey, what are you doing here? That kind of thing, where it kind of heightens the tension as far as being caught. I think that's what makes the really good stealth game. So, but yeah, if you're into kind of those stealth games like that or a Metal Gear, I think this is like a really good fit. So there we go. Listeners, your turn. We want to hear from you. What's your favorite Sean Bean film or show? What's your favorite Sean Bean death? Have you tried out Hitman before? Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
Brian Truitt's not here this week. He's probably taking a nap because he ate way too much turkey. Hello, Brian. Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it this week. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to our pilot / producers of the Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the pod. And of course, we love the feedback. If Apple Podcasts aren't your thing, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks again. Happy Thanksgiving, Kelly.
Happy Turkey Day.
Until next week, nerds out.
Yeah.